Chapter number one, and we'll get into some reading. We're only going to read about four verses tonight. And anyhow, just want to challenge us tonight just for a little bit, if I can do that. We got other things to going on tonight. We got some baptisms tonight, as we had two saved this past Sunday night during our discipleship class. We praise the Lord for that and looking forward to baptizing them here very shortly. And I appreciate once again you being here, and thank you, Brother Scott. I'm sorry. I just, like I said, we really didn't know how to go about it, how to handle it. I don't know. And if I did it wrong, when you pastor a church, you can teach me, okay? Amen. All right. Verse number 15, we'll begin our reading, all right? The Bible says it. Now listen, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you all this up front, all right? These names that I'm fixing to pronounce, okay, I am absolutely 100% positive that I will not get them right. Okay, so if you want to discard anything I say in the message tonight, here's your chance, all right? Because I don't know why people just didn't name their kid Tim and John and Paul and everything else, and why we had to go to these names. It seems like John, Paul, Tim was a good name back in the Bible. And the people we're fixing to be introduced to are, their parents was crazy. All right, now, verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus. Close enough, all right? I don't know how, and I don't know how y'all was raised, but when I got in trouble, it was all three names, like Robert Joseph Harrington. That's when you knew it was in trouble, right? Could you imagine screaming at your kid, Phygellus? Let me move on. And Hermogenes. Come here, Hermogenes. You'll talk about some mean little kids. I know why they left Paul. They were mad because of what their mama named them. Hey, let's talk about verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. That is not how you pronounce that. But I'm telling you, I couldn't get it down. So I've always heard Onesiphorus, and that's what we're going to call him, but it ain't even close to being right, okay? So, 01, that guy, all right? So the Lord give mercy. This is Paul speaking. He says, Lord, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So, Timothy, just a little bit of background. This epistle, 2 Timothy, is the last book, one of the last books, I think it is the last book, that Paul would write. In this chapter, Paul is in a dungeon in Rome, and he is awaiting a trial, which, if you know history, Paul was acquitted and then was later imprisoned again and killed. Paul writes this to someone, Timothy, his son, in the faith. This is one of the last writings of Paul. If you go over to chapter number 4, Paul gives his last charge to Timothy to continue in the faith. He charges him how to preach and how to do. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, see if I can find it real quick. But he says, I have fought a good fight. In the verse before that, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And this was Paul's last testament. This was his last writing. And as he is writing to Timothy, the circumstances surrounding his life at this time, He is in prison, he is in a dungeon, and he is in Rome. And according to verse number 15, the very first verse I read, the Bible says Paul admits to Timothy or testifies to Timothy that all had forsaken him that were in Asia. All right. Now, this ain't Asia, what we would consider modern day Asia. This is not where this is. What we would consider modern day Turkey is the area and the region that Paul was referencing as Asia. We've heard it in the Bible as Asia Minor. You may have heard it that way. But this was where the city of Ephesus was located. In the city of Ephesus, you have the pastor of the church there at Ephesus being Timothy, or believed to be Timothy, and Paul is writing to him. And Paul says that everybody that was there at Ephesus, everybody that was in Asia Minor at this point in Paul's life had forsaken him. They had left him. He gives two men. He gives two names, and that's Phygelus and Hermogenes, and I'm sure I got that wrong, but he gave us two names of men that forsook him and apparently led a, I ain't going to say a revolt because Paul was never a dictator, but basically led others away from Paul. And so he names these two gentlemen as people that's in a larger group of those that have left Paul and forsaken him. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because Paul's in a dungeon, and I don't know if you know anything about geography, Rome to Ephesus is a long way. Okay, it ain't like, is everybody all right? It ain't like everybody just said, hey, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to see Paul. Okay, is everybody with me? Y'all got to be with me, all right? We ain't moving any further. They didn't get on the cell phone back in the day and say, hey, I'm going to call Paul up over there in the prison, see if he gets one phone call today and I'm going to talk to Paul. I ain't going, hey, I ain't jumping in the Honda Accord, even though we were in one Accord. I'm not jumping in the Honda. Y'all get that in a little bit. But I'm not jumping in the Honda and running over there to the prison, all right? And what I'm getting at is that I wonder how much of this was in Paul's mind. I don't know that all had forsaken him, but as far as Paul was concerned, all had left him. All right. As far, now I'm trying to get us somewhere because I don't know that everybody had left Paul and everybody had forsaken Paul. We know for a fact that there was one that did not leave Paul, and that was Onesiphorus. All right. We know for a fact that there was one. But my point in this is that maybe we're getting a little bit of insight into Paul's thinking, into his paranoia. Is everybody all right? Paul sitting in a dungeon, and I can't imagine that. I've been in a dungeon. I've been there. I've been in a dungeon in Brantley County. I ain't tell, but it was straight up a dungeon, all right? They called it a jail, but it was a dungeon. But I've been in Israel. I've been down in Jerusalem. I've been down in the palace there where it is believed that Jesus was kept. I've been in that dungeon. I've been at the bottom of it and read scripture while down there. And I'll say this. We had light while we were in there. I couldn't imagine what it was like in total darkness back in those days, not having, is everybody all right? Not having a light or anything in that. And here this man, Paul, a prisoner, is sitting there and everything, y'all, this is getting good. Y'all all right? Y'all better stay with me now. You're going to miss something good tonight. Paul's sitting there in total darkness and everything in the world is attacking his mind. Paul is sitting there and here he is nearing the end of his life. Here he is nearing the end of his ministry. And here Paul is under extreme stress and he has no light. He's in the middle of a dungeon, no escape, no friends per se. And here Paul, all he can think about is everybody that's left him. All he can think about is everybody's against him. All he can, hey, I need somebody to help me right here. Because I've found in my ministry that when people get isolated, they start allowing things to come in their mind that really aren't there. They start allowing the devil to tell them things that really isn't happening. And I'm not saying that it wasn't happening to Paul. I'm just saying under the conditions that he was in, it is absolutely, there's a little bit of possibility that what Paul was going through was mental, and it was a battle in his mind that he was dealing with. He says, I've been forsaken by all, but I want you to understand, it ain't like you can just show up at the jail over there in Rome and say, hey, I want to check Paul out for today. It ain't like you can just show up at the jail and say, hey, I want my 10 minutes with Paul during visiting hours. They didn't have visiting hours. Now, Paul wasn't shooting basketball during the day. He didn't get to watch the soap operas. Is everybody all right? He wasn't looking at the newspaper or playing cards. If you ever been in a jail, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Jesse, you with me, man, all right? So, anyhow, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. But he didn't have all these things while he was sitting there in the dungeon. He didn't have all that. And so all Paul had, as he sat down, and it was his thoughts about everything that everybody had ever done to him and how bad it was. And here he is. He calls out two men, and man, God allowed him to do it. I believe the scripture is inspired, and God allowed him to do that. But I wonder if given the chance, I bet not all of Asia had forsaken him. See, what Paul was basically saying was, all those people that I've helped, all those people that I've ministered to, all those people that I've discipled, all those people that I've led to the Lord are now left me. And he let something, is everybody all right? I think he let it get in his mind, and he let the devil just almost destroy him from the inside, even though they were trying to destroy him on the outside. I wonder how much the devil was doing on the inside and on his mind. And can I say this? The greatest battle that you and I face is not what somebody can do to us. You hear me? Man, you can break my leg and I'm going to heal. I ain't saying it ain't going to hurt, but I'm going to heal. But the greatest battle and the hardest battle for us to get through is mentally. And the greatest attack the devil will ever have on you is not going to be a physical attack on you. It's going to be a mental attack. And I believe this is where Paul was. I believe that Paul was suffering a mental attack right here because he had already convinced himself that everybody, everything that he had ever done was in vain and everybody had left him. Man, if there was ever somebody that needed encouragement. It was Paul. And man, we look at this guy named Onesiphorus. I don't know how to say his name, but we look at O-1. We'll call him the one. We look at him, and the Bible says that he sought out Paul diligently. But understand what it says here. It says when he was in Rome. So when I was putting this together, I was studying. I was looking, how many miles is it from Ephesus to Rome? And I come up with one that says 800 miles, one that said 1,241 miles, one that said 8,000. So I don't know where they were talking about. So I said, all right, I'm looking. I'm like, because I was thinking, man, Onesiphorus really did some traveling to go over there and see Paul. But I missed the word, and the word was when he was in Rome. When in Rome, he sought Paul out. Is everybody with me? And boy, that got my mind thinking. And the fact of the matter is like, I can't be everywhere. I'm trying to get there, y'all. Y'all stay with me. I can't be everywhere. There's people that need refreshing all over the world. Brother Scott's going to head to Hendersonville, North Carolina and refresh and encourage somebody. There's people that need encouragement. I can't be everywhere. But when I'm where I'm at.
That's right.
Oh, now y'all getting it, right? when I'm there, I can be an encouragement to somebody. I may not be able to jump in the car and drive 3,000 miles to encourage somebody, but where I'm at, I can encourage somebody. I don't believe in this forest jumped in the car and drove all the way over there to see Paul. I believe maybe he was on a business trip. Maybe he was visiting family. Maybe he was on a vacation, whatever. But the Bible says when he was there, when he had the opportunity, when he was there, that is when he was a refreshment to Paul. His name means, let me see what his name means. It means to prophet. His name, not as prophet as in speaker. His name is prophet as in gains. He was a prophet to Paul and those around him. And I believe that you and I can be the same to those around us. I believe that every one of us can be an encouragement where we are. Where we are. This is one of those things, like I said, I was trying and man, I was searching. How far did he travel to do this? And no, I missed that one word. When? While he was there, he was a blessing and an encouragement. How did he do that? Let's talk about it real quickly. How do you refresh people? I notice people that refresh others or that encourage others, they intentionally seek people out. I wrote down, if you're writing notes, they're intentional in their seeking. The Bible tells us about Onesiphorus that verse number 7, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. He sought me out very diligently. People who refresh others, they're intentional in their seeking. In other words, they're looking for an opportunity to encourage somebody. Somebody needs to hear me tonight, all right? Don't get caught up writing up too many notes and forget about what's going on now. Is everybody with me? They intentionally seek to be an encouragement. And let me tell you something. If there was anything that we need in this day and time, it's people that encourage others. If there's anything that they can do, if there's anything that you can be and easily be, that's somebody that encourages somebody. Now, let me just go ahead and say this, because some of you are giving me looks. You can't encourage everybody. But when you are where you are, we can be an encouragement to others.
That's right.
But we have to be intentional in doing so.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We have to be intentional in doing so, and we're not good at that. I was thinking about this, Miss Logan. I'm glad you said something. I was thinking about this. How many times this world is completely different than it was back in Paul's day. Colby, hand me your phone, man. I see your phone. Hand it to me. Thank you, man. I ain't gonna see nothing ugly on this thing when I turn it over, like you or nothing. Is it Jenny? Is it Jenny on here? Oh, sweet. That's so sweet. That's so sweet. All right. You need to fix your screen. I'll say that. Jenny looks like she's got a beard. That's where he busted it. It's right there on your chin. I mean, who does that? And fix the thing, man. Anyhow, we live in a day and time where we hold in our hand a weapon. I'm going to go over here and say it over here. We hold in our hand a weapon. Or a tool. We spend, and I've been guilty of this, and so I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me. But I find myself wrapped up in social media, knowing that there's people out there that I could be an encouragement to. And we have in our hand a way to reach somebody that's in prison in Rome from Ephesus without ever leaving the air conditioner. But we're not intentional in doing that. What kind of a blessing could you be to somebody this week, this month, this year, if you decided to be intentional about encouraging them? The Bible says that Onesiphorus, he sought Paul out very diligently. I read and it says that there was many prisons in Rome, and more than likely, as high profile as Paul was, man, it's already busted. That's why he didn't get you. Hey, that's why he wrestled and didn't play football. All right, but where was I at? There's many prisons. Thank you, Miss Ellen. There's many prisons in Rome, and there's a great possibility that they were hiding Paul's location because of him being such a high-profile prisoner. And yet, Onesiphorus, at a time when everybody that was a Christian was trying to get out of Rome, was in Rome looking for somebody to be a blessing to. When Christianity was under great persecution, Onesiphorus went in and diligently sought out Paul so that he could be a blessing to him. Tonight, I'm not going to ask you if you are an encourager intentionally. I'm going to challenge you and say, will you be an encourager intentionally? We see they're intentional in their seeking. Number two, they're invested in their service. People that refresh others and that encourage others, they're invested in their service. His appreciation. This is a man, according to verse number 18, that ministered to Paul while he was in Ephesus. Paul said to Timothy, thou knowest how he's ministered to me very well. In other words, it wasn't a hidden thing that Onesiphorus did for Paul. It wasn't something that was behind the scenes, but according to Paul talking to Timothy, you know very well how he encouraged me and ministered to me while at Ephesus. And so it leads me to believe, by the way, Paul had a very big part in starting this church. And so it leads me to believe that Timothy ain't the only one that was a son of the faith to Paul. I wonder if Onesiphorus wasn't as well. At the very least, let me say this. Paul had invested into his life, and now he was repaying the favor. Whether Paul led him to the Lord, or whether Paul discipled him, or whether Paul was just an encouragement and a friend to him, he was appreciative of what Paul did to the point that he sought Paul out even when Paul was in prison. How many people have been an encouragement and a blessing, have invested in you? And how often have you been appreciative of that to the point of seeking them out? Y'all all right? Boy, I thank God on me, man. I got people from my home church. I got folks in my life. I got folks at Victory. I got folks at other churches and that they poured into me and they've been a blessing to me. And I'd like to say, you know, I tell you all the time, I think one of the biggest detriments of this world today is that we're not thankful. But I mean, let's be honest about it. How thankful are we of the people that's put into us? Myself included. How thankful am I of the Mike Landrums and the Mike Andrews and the different men that have put into Larry Browns, the different guys that have poured into my life? And how much of an encouragement am I seeking them out? Because I'm going to tell you something. Is everybody, I hope we're on the same page right here. But any of us can be in a prison without being in a dungeon. I'm going to say that again. Y'all need to write that down. You can be in a prison for not being in a dungeon. His appreciation, his association. The Bible says this about Onesiphorus in verse number 16, and was not ashamed of my chain. He He was not ashamed of my chain. I've already mentioned that he had to go around seeking out where Paul would be and where Paul would be located. To do so, he would have to put himself in danger. But he wasn't ashamed to do that. Is everybody all right? For Onesiphorus to find Paul and to minister to Paul, Brother Robert, he had to get dirty. His association. Can I say this? Encouraging people ain't always sitting up there on a cloud of pillows and silver lining and all that, rose petals everywhere. Sometimes you got to get down in, is everybody all right? Sometimes you just got to get down in the mud with them. Sometimes you just got to cry with them. Sometimes you just got to let them cry on you and throw up on you and spit up on you. And is everybody all right? They're invested in their service. He could have had 1,000 reasons why he wasn't going to go see Paul and probably could have justified all 1,000 of them. But he chose to associate with Paul and he chose to invest in him. They're invested in their service. We see his appreciation, his association, his refreshing, and his ministering. His refreshing, the Bible says, you see the verse, he oft, verse number 16, for he oft refreshed me. And then down in verse number 18, and it says, and in how many things he ministered unto me. That refresh means that he revived him. When you go and you study that word out, it's to bring cool air. In other words, when it's overheated, it's to bring in cool air and to revive, to breathe life into. Is everybody right? And oh man, don't we have the power to do that? Just a word can bring life, breathe life into somebody. And you and I have the ability to do that. And if we're not intentional in seeking out those that we can do that with, there's going to be some people that end up dying in prison because they felt just like Paul. Everybody's left me. Everybody's forsaken me. But his ministering, in verse number 18, it says, in how many things he ministered unto me. That word ministered means served. When Paul needed food, Onesiphorus brought him a hamburger. Is everybody all right? When Paul needed something to drink, he brought him a sweet tea. I think Paul was Southern. I can got Bible for it. But the point was, whatever Paul's needs were, Onesiphorus was one that helped to meet them. Now, I once again, let me say this. And this force didn't write him a check into prison, wouldn't have done Paul much good. But there are things. God's not asking you to write people checks. He's asking you to be a blessing to somebody. Even if it's just a cup of water. Even if it's just a morsel of bread. Is everybody all right? The Bible, I don't know what the checkbook was, but it's a lot of folks. We get this idea that it's going to cost us great amounts of money to be a blessing to somebody, and it doesn't. You can be a blessing to somebody by just being kind to them. You can be a blessing to somebody by helping their needs. It might be that they need something. It might be that they need money. And we can be a blessing to them. But don't think that the only way that you can be a blessing to somebody is if you can write them a check for $100. How do we do this, preacher? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 3, talking about the church of Macedonia. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. How did the people of the church of Macedonia, how did they give? They gave themselves to the Lord. And from the overflow of that, they gave to others. Oh, is everybody all right? So John chapter number 15 says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You want to be a blessing? Is everybody all right? You want to be a blessing to somebody else? Then you get filled up with Him. And let the overflow of that bless others. Lastly, and I'm done, they're immovable in their support. They're immovable in their support. His faithfulness and His future. And I'm done. I'm done with His faithfulness and His future. His faithfulness, they're immovable in their support. He was faithful to Paul in Ephesus. And now at the end of Paul's life, Onesiphorus is still there. You go to verse number 18, he says, you know, he says, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So while Paul was in Ephesus, he was faithful. And now in Rome, when in Rome, he sought me out. He was a man that his faithfulness was an encouragement to Paul. I think that's missed in a lot of things. I was telling Brother Sheldon. Brother Sheldon has been, he's been a blessing to me. Me and him work out together and well, we've done a lot together over, I don't know, daggum 9 years, whatever, however long I've been here. I met him at the gym and talked him into leaving another church to come over here. And I'm just kidding, I didn't do that. But anyhow, I did meet him at the gym and a long time ago, it seems like 2012. But anyhow, I was telling him, there was things have come and people have come and people have gone. But he's one of the people that's always been faithful. And he hadn't been able to do everything. He ain't been able to do this, that, or the other. But his faithfulness has been an encouragement to me. Got Matt and Miranda. I didn't even like them. I still don't know that I do. And when we first come, and it was, I won't lie, I'm going to tell the truth, it was difficult. We were different, and they were younger, and she was meaner than she is now. I mean, it was just difficult. But I told somebody this week at the gym, I told Brandy, or David, I think it was David Ridley, I told him, I said, I couldn't imagine my life without Miss Miranda and the encouragement that she is to me. And her husband's just a blessing. I mean, he's been a blessing. I think about the Mark and Ellen Munzhausens, and you know, talk about a biblical name there and can't pronounce. There that is. But so many other people that God's just been there. And Onesiphorus was that for Paul. I don't know, what could he have done? Paul was in prison. Don't miss this. But he was there. He was there. He couldn't break Paul out. He couldn't get Paul out. But he was there. He was there. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to be a blessing to somebody? Be there. Be there. When you're with them, be there. That's how you become a blessing to people. Amen? Amen. And his future. Is everybody ready? I'm done. Maybe. It says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know who said that? Jesus. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I found this verse. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Everybody say amen. What that means is those that are given and givers and generous, they'll be made successful, prosperous. But that ain't the end of the verse. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Those that are a refreshment to others shall be refreshed themselves. Kind of reminds me of a verse that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be a blessing to somebody. Be intentional about it. Invest in others. And be unmovable. Be there. You may not be able to be there physically, but be there. Be there and be an encouragement. Dalton, come to the piano. I'm going to give you a break tonight. Y'all come around the altar. We got some baptism. Jesse, if y'all go ahead, y'all come on and we'll get y'all baptized tonight. But we'll give a time at the altar tonight. Why don't you come find a place around the altar and intentionally, let's intentionally be an encouragement to somebody. Let's take the challenge tonight. Be intentional. Invest in them. Amen. That's awesome. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I come to you tonight humbly, knowing that the grass may wither and fade, but God, there's always a fresh dew, and Lord, there's new life. God, as I think about Paul and our scripture reading tonight, from letters and prayer requests that I've gotten over the course of the last week, Lord, I know that there are people out here sitting in our church service that the devil is attacking their mind. God, I pray that we would be an encouragement to one another. I pray that we would diligently and intentionally seek out those in our church, those in our family, those of our friends, and encourage them. Lord, as dangerous as a cell phone and internet it can be, Lord, it can be used for good, and it can be used to travel long distances with just a word that would encourage somebody and help them, Lord, to climb out of a pit, a dungeon, a dark place. Lord, may we be intentional. May we invest in others, serving them, appreciating them. Getting in the mess with them. Getting in the dungeon with them. Lord, I pray that we be immovable. Lord, life's too short to be a Hermogenes or a Phygelus. When we could be an Onesiphorus. God, help us to want to encourage Help us to want to be a blessing and a refreshment to others. Lord, I pray that you'd use us to do so. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, being kind and generous and merciful to us. God, may we extend that in our thankfulness. And